We're now toward the end of the series, The Generational Curse. And we have seen that generational curses exist just like the Bible says they do. But all this is for naught if we're unable to actually make application to our lives. We need to know that it's preventable. In Numbers 14:18, it says, "The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations." So far, we've learned in this series that the generational curse is biblical and that the generational curse is prominent. We covered the generational curse of anger, of materialism, lewdness, ignorance, drunkenness, and gluttony. And though we've only covered these five type of curses that seem prominent in our society, there are many other issues in life that will lead to a generational curse if we allow it. And by this point in the series, there are many who have become aware with how powerful and obvious a generational curse or curses could be in their family. Well, being cognizant of this, there are many that desire to do something about it. Now, I'm going to give you the final two lessons, how to break the generational curse, to keep it from continuing on and on and on. Point number one, we must recognize it. We must recognize what the problem is in order to deal with it. And in doing so, it will not only help us to deal with the situation at hand, but also to confront the denial problem that often accompanies the curse. We must recognize what type of curse it is. When looking at our families, trying to recognize the family curse, we need to have a self-examination of one's life. And the way that one dismantles a generational curse in their life concerning a sexual issue is probably different than that of an alcoholic issue. The flavor of the curse must be identified to properly address the spiritual plague. Now, here's a list of generational curse indicators that exist when there is a curse that is either just starting in that generation or already well established for many generations. Now, though it is not a complete list of all the possible struggles, it will point us in the right direction in trying to identify it. Check the behavior and conditions that have plagued and or are plaguing you in your life today. Let's look at some of these. Here are some generational curse indicators. Abusiveness, alcoholism, anger, argumentative, complaining, depression. All these are signs of a generational curse. Dishonesty, drug addiction, eating disorders, gambling, gluttony, greed, homosexuality, impulsiveness, ignorance, insecurity, laziness, materialism, nightmares, nervousness, over-competitive, parental disobedience, panic attacks, perfection, phobias, pornography, procrastination, sexual promiscuity, vengefulness, and violence. These are just some of them. If you have these characteristics or any of them at all prevalent in your life, you need to look deeper to identify the generational curse. Now, when looking and trying to analyze it, we may not find the curse. We might only see one or two, and you might see a number of them running through this line, but it's important to know how these curses begin. When a person is under the stress of life, he or she is forced to come up with different methods of coping with it. Some will choose good coping mechanisms, and others will choose poor ones. And when we choose the positive solutions to dealing with a situation, like prayer, thinking a problem through, using the Bible as a guide, and others of the like, the result is a line of blessings to be passed down to the next generation. It is when we are choosing the poor means of coping with life stress that we're running into the generational curse. All those we named before are things you need to look out for. Now, with this in mind, we must recognize what type of curse that it is, and we must recognize the depth of the curse. Once the type of curse is identified, we must see how far it has gone back. If it's a sexual sin, how far does it go back? Drunkenness, how far does it go back? Lying, how far does it go back? Cheating, how far? Drugs, how far? What is meant by the depth of the curse is to see what stage it is concerning the generational part of it. Not every generational curse that we are in is the influence of those who came before us. Many times, we could be starting a new curse for our family. One that may not have existed prior to the present time. Ask yourself some of these questions in trying to determine the depth of the curse. Yes or no? Were any of the above selected behaviors in the lives of your parents? Yes or no? Were any of the above selected behaviors in the lives of your grandparents? Yes or no? Was it in the lives of your great-grandparents? Yes or no? Are there other descendants from your present generation struggling with this same issue? Brothers or sisters? Cousins? Yes or no? Did you determine this weakness? Did you demonstrate this weakness before age 10? Yes or no? Did your closest peers develop the same behavior? Yes or no? Are your children exhibiting some of the same characteristics? Now, if you answered yes to three or more of the above questions, there is probably a well-established generational curse working its way through your family. These answers would also have a tendency to help you figure out what level the curse is at. If the identical behavior existed in the lives of the grandparents, then you could very well be on the fourth generation. The curse may have started in the generation above you. It's very important to recognize this depth of the curse. Psalm 106, verse 6, "We have sinned like our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have behaved wickedly." Jeremiah 3:25, "Let us lie down in our shame, and let our humiliation cover us." For we have sinned against the Lord, our God. We and our fathers, since our youth, even to this day, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, our God. Lamentations 5, verse 7. Our fathers sinned and are no more. It is we who have borne their iniquities. Now, why is it important to understand the depth of the curse? This is because the challenge of defeating the generational curse is usually in proportion to the length of it. Your battle in beating this curse is sized up based upon the length, the depth of this curse. When a curse is 3 or 4 generations deep, the number of people contaminated with the learned behavior is much larger. The family support is often used, that's often used to break a curse, is not in play. And the incentive to change is lower. If you come from a line of drunks, everyone you know is a drunk. Everyone you hold dear to you is a drunk. You're not going to receive help from them to beat your drunkenness habit. But if it's just a couple generations deep, your circle that you are surrounded with, the people you hold near and dear to your heart, are more likely to help you, to not be a bad influence on you. Now, if you answered no to 2 or less of the questions, then the curse you are going through may be starting in your own generation. And curses that are starting in your own generation are generally easier to deal with, and the damage can be better dealt with. You can better control the damage. So, we must not only recognize the type of the curse, but we must recognize the depth of the curse. We must recognize the participants of the curse. The third recognition is to do that very thing. Identify the participants. This refers to the present living members of the family line that are involved in the curse in one form or another. The reason it is important to identify the participants is because Satan will use them to corrupt the youngest generation, resulting in fruitless labors concerning your ending the curse. There cannot be a successful treatment of the generational curse unless there is recognition of all parties involved, from great-grandfather to great-grandchild. Countless Christians struggle their entire lives. Their entire lives they will fight and struggle with these things. Why? Because they are allowing a cursed generation to interfere. And so, the first thing we must do in beating the generational curse is to recognize it. The second thing, the last point in this lesson that we'll cover 2 more in the next lesson, we must not only recognize the curse, we must repent from that very thing. Before going any further, we must clarify the definition of repentance. Strong's defines it as metanoia. Means to think differently, to reconsider, to think again. Repent does not mean to change one's life, for that is the result of repentance. As a man thinketh, so he is. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed through the renewing of your mind. There must be a repentance in the mind in order to have a change of the heart. Repent simply means to make a new decision based on new information. Now, how does one apply repentance to a generational curse? Now that we've identified the curse, we must reflect on what it means concerning our lives and the lives of those we love. As we meditate on where the curse has led and the many ways that we have allowed it to serve our lustful means, we should become sorrowful. This is not the type of sorrow that leads to hopelessness, but change in our everyday lives and in how we're going to be living for the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 states, "For sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But sorrow of the world produces death." Deep reflection on the evil in our lives should lead us in the right way. And the process of repentance does not only end there, but it should also have, there should also be godly sorrow for the participants that came before us. We should not just be sorry about our problem, but those who led us into this problem. Nehemiah, in his prayers concerning the sins of his generation and the generations that came before him, are a good example for all of us. In Nehemiah 1, verse 5, "I said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant in loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which have sinned against you. I, and what else? I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses." Nehemiah could see the path of sin and condemnation that was drifting down through the generations and lodging at his very doorstep. He repented of not only his sins, but the sins of his generation and the sins of those who came before him. This deep reflection led him to see where he fit into the path of the curse. Are we willing to have godly sorrow over the sin in our lives? Are we willing to repent concerning the sins of those that came before us in the generational curse? Are we not sorrowful over the spiritual pain and anguish that we have caused the next generation? Are we not? Are we going to just let this sin continue on through our own lives? Is that what we're going to do? We must think about that sin and repent. To think again about it and to think for our ancestors And if we fail to do these first two steps, to recognize and to repent, the curses will continue to hurt the very ones that we hold dearest in our lives. Let me close with this story. Sonia was an uneducated young lady from inner city Detroit that had gotten off to a terrible start in life. She was a single mother of two young boys, and as a result of their father abandoning them shortly after birth, there she was, all alone, with her two little boys. The two boys were named Curtis and Ben, oldest to the youngest, respectively. Ben was constantly called the dummy by all his class because he was a bit slow. And by the time he was 11, he considered himself, quote, the stupidest kid in the fifth grade, which in turn led him to many fights on the playground. As a teenager, he tried to stab a fellow student who refused to turn down the radio. That's when his mother stepped in to change his life. There was a bad curse, a brewing. And though she was a single mother who worked long hours as a maid, often working three jobs a day to make ends meet, she was also a religious woman who saw to it that her sons would have the education to break this pattern. She insisted that Ben and the older brother Curtis read two books every week and write reports about them. Years later, Carson would learn that his mother, who only had a third grade education, had been unable to read the reports. The kid who hated school grew to love books and became known as the smartest kid in the class. Well, Ben won a scholarship to Yale. And after graduating from the University of Michigan Medical School, he went to work as a neurosurgeon, a resident at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore. In 1984, when he was only 33 years old, he became the head of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins. Not long afterward, he made history as the first surgeon to successfully separate twins conjoined at the back of the head. And with all his achievements, Carson has never forgotten his most valuable lesson. He speaks frequently to groups all over the country, spreading the message that education leads to liberation and that children should be encouraged to strive for excellence. Dr. Carson has written more than 90 medical articles and 3 best-selling books. So it's hard to imagine that Ben Carson's grade school nickname back in Detroit was Dummy. And that Ben himself believed he was actually the stupidest kid in the fifth grade. He wasn't the only member of his family who excelled. His brother Curtis is an engineer. And his mother, Sonia, the mother who could not even read her own children's book reports, she went back to school because she taught herself to read and she earned her GED and her college degree. They broke the curse of ignorance. we must take the first two steps of recognizing and repenting in order to begin breaking the curse. In the next lesson, we will cover two very important points that must occur after that. And so, we have one final lesson on how to break the generational curse.